We are making our way through this wonderful letter of James. I want to just kick right off today with the big idea. This section of scripture is going to talk about talk. You may have noticed our title. But I want you to see the constructive words that we say are going to be controlled, they're going to be careful, they're going to be consistent. I want you to keep that in your mind as we start here today. If you have your Bibles, turn in the book of James to chapter 3. Right there in the beginning of the verse, of the section here, it's kind of a strange caveat, we call it. It's kind of a statement that didn't necessarily seem to fit with everything else. He puts one little verse in here, but it really represents a caution to those people who are teachers. It says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." And it's actually in commentaries and reflection of people who read these sorts of things a lot. They've concluded that it's actually a warning more directed towards people who are quite opinionated. We might know who they are. Or those who are seeking prestige, seeking attention. Another way to say what James is saying here is something like this. Don't be eager for the task of directing someone else's life, because this task carries with it heavy scrutiny and judgment. But the main way that we who teach and communicate, really for a living, perhaps writing, but it's through speech, through communicating, just like I'm doing right now. And nonetheless, language is paramount to any teacher's efforts. In verse 2, he follows it up with a really interesting statement. We all stumble in many ways, but anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. What an amazing thought. Yeah, we all stumble, but if I could just not stumble in my mouth, in what I say, James is contending and suggesting that we would be perfect, and we would be able to control our whole body, our whole being. I want you to see and be reminded here today that words are certainly a powerful tool. It's what distinguishes us from other species of creatures on the earth, right? A very developed language. And these words that we use every day are a very powerful tool for that life. But they are also a very clear reflection of what's inside us. It's a reflection of your heart. We're going to expand that today with James. I want to go back to James's big brother, the Lord Jesus. And he looked at some people at one point in his ministry in the Gospels. And he said this to the Pharisees in Matthew 12. It's Matthew 12, 34 and 35. He says, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything that's good? For you, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And he brings forth then in verse 35, a wonderful memory verse, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." So James expands upon that powerful lesson from Jesus with these wonderful illustrations. We're going to see it here today. But James uses excellent real life examples, illustrations to teach us these principles that our words should be controlled, careful, and consistent. The first one you see there in verses 3 and 4, that our speech, if it's going to be constructive, if it's going to be helpful to people, it's going to be controlled. And he goes into these two wonderful examples. James 3:3 says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal." And some of you know this really, really well, but I want you to think about that principle. These are massive creatures. We love them and respect them. But just a wee little piece of metal and some reins, and we can turn that whole animal. But it takes some training. Those of you that work with horses and have been around these animals, you know very well that they fight and they spit and they may jump and they may fight. Because what? They have an inner will. And that will needs to be trained. It needs to be controlled. But after that process, which can sometimes be very difficult, after that process happens, oh, isn't it great to ride a horse And to know that just a little pull on one side or the other, and that animal understands, and it's a wonderful, controlled, fun activity. I want you to think about that with regard to what you say. He's using this as an example to teach us about our tongue. You see, the horse is restrained or guided by this bit and bridle. And I want you to think about that, is that that really reflects an internal desire that we may have to guide and direct or control. And how many times have we said something that we didn't quite think about first? A second illustration that he uses is in verse 4. He says, or take the ships, for example. Although they are so large and are driven by these strong winds, they're steered by a wee little rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. A huge ship is seemingly guided and steered by this little small part in the back of the ship. Now, I want you to see this example as sometimes we have to guide and direct even the external forces, the wind, the rain, the storms. And if we'll do that correctly, we could actually use those storms of life to push the ship and guide it just perfectly. And so what he's doing here is he's setting up both an illustration to guide us in our internal desires. I have an opinion. Or even guide those external forces that come into our life with these two wonderful little examples. But then he ties it all together in verse 5. Look at that with me. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Oh my, that's just the first part of that verse. And I want to stop there for a second. How many times have you really considered what you're about to say before you said it? I want you to take up this challenge with me here today. This week, I want you to make a mental note to consider and to control everything that comes out of your mouth. Now, this is going to be really easy for some of you. You may be introverted. You may be, you know, tending to be silent by nature. But boy, I tell you, if you're like me, you're a verbal processor. The work I do lends itself to practicing and talking and just talking and talking and talking and Wendy and talking and talking and talking. And she goes, and so what I'm going to do this week is that I need to stop, take a deep breath, and consider the bit and the bridle and the rudder, and then control my speech. Lord, put that bit in my mouth, literally, to guide and to help me control my internal will. But likewise, steer and guide my rudder, Lord, that you may steer the actions of my ship. Not the winds blowing from this culture or anything around me, but that you, Lord, would help me steer with my little rudder. Because in the second part of verse 5, he wants us very carefully to consider the effects of what we say. Right? So here's the rest of verse 5. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by just a little spark. Oh, how many times we've heard of this phenomena happening both in nature and with the interaction of man in the woods, especially in and around areas where dryness, a lack of humidity, perhaps a drought. And just a wee little small spark from lightning or a campfire left untended or perhaps a little fire that gets out of control. We've heard and we've observed that it destroys thousands of acres of woods, perhaps. We don't fear that as much here in Ohio, but we do hear about it every once in a while. But out west, this is a very dangerous thing. Now, most of the time, it's just a very tiny ember that may pop out of a fire or be blown by the wind somewhere where it doesn't belong. And bam, we have a full-blown forest fire out of control. And so thus, James reminds us that our speech should not just be controlled, but because of the great effect that it can have, we need to be very careful. A powerful illustration that we sometimes have taught with youth and children. I thought about having a little demonstration up here, but some of you may have seen this before. Sometimes we get a group of kids, we get them some toothpaste, right, and some plates and some fun, and we say, squirt it all out, just squirt it, yay! And they just squirt it all over the plate, right, all over the place. And then we hand them a butter knife, Matt, and we say, but now put it back in the tube. And you can't get it back in the tube, right? And then it's a great illustration for us to just say, listen, this is exactly how it is with our speech. Because once it comes out, no butter knife's going to get back in, right? And James continues this shocking metaphor, because our tongues are not just the source of this fire, but he says this, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it is itself set on fire by hell. Wow. You know, in honor of my mom on Mother's Day, I have a younger sister. We spent a lot of times arguing in the backseat of the car, and I can just as clear as day distinctively remember my mother teaching me a very valuable lesson. She said, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Thanks, Mom. I've never forgotten that. Because if you can't say anything nice, just don't say anything at all. I'm sure she was frustrated wrangling us in the backseat. But isn't this true? Is that what we say can set the course of an argument, a Brannigan, as my grandparents used to call it? I want you to see that much like a fire, our speech can have a devastating effect on other people. And it must be handled with great respect and care. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. In verse 7, he continues with the metaphor. He says, all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures, horses, they're all being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. Oh, it's wonderful. But in verse 8, he says, but no human being can seemingly tame their tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. What strong language. Strong language. And just, I'll give you a hint here. Show my cards. He's actually not talking about the piece of little meat that's in your mouth, at your tongue, all right? Really? Full of poison. What's he getting at? What's he getting at, people? Here's the hint to the real issue. He's getting to the heart of the matter, right? He's referring you and me to one of the fruit of the Spirit. We alluded to those last week. Self-control. You're never going to control the tongue of someone else. But oh my. You have a challenge to control your own tongue. And so we've got plenty of work to do to control our own tongue. Our own restless evil inside of us. Are you careful with that fire, with that poison that you have inside you? It's really your sinful nature. Let's face it, that's what we're talking about here. And if you just give that free rein to just do whatever it wants, to say whatever it wants, to act whenever it wants, you will be starting fires everywhere. And generally, these two verses are a hopeless statement. I sat in my office this week scratching my head saying, I read the scriptures, Lord, but there must be another way. Proverbs probably influenced James very much. James was a Jewish person who was raised in that faith, and he probably had access, obviously, to memorize the Proverbs. And I just want to remind you of a couple of those things that James probably had in mind when he wrote these words. How about Proverbs 18:21? The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it are going to eat its fruit. Proverbs 21:23 is another one. It says, watch your tongue. Keep your mouth shut. You'll stay out of trouble. That's the New Living Translation. I think that's where Grandma Joyce got her phrase for me. That's my mom, by the way. If you can't say anything nice, just keep your mouth shut. You're going to stay out of trouble that way. So in these next couple of passages, he not only just continues to reiterate that our speech should be controlled, that we need to be very careful. He's given us some hope here in saying that our speech should be consistent. Consistent. Take a look at verse number 9. James 3:9 says, with the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Ugh. He begins this next section with a contrast. We've all experienced this, right? Maybe you even experienced this morning. In verse 9, a new dimension is introduced. This inconsistency needs to be reconciled, acknowledged, recognized, described. I have the power of blessing, and I have the power of cursing in the way I talk. He continues in verse 10. He just follows through with wonderful teaching. He says, out of the same mouth come praising and cursing. My brothers, This should not be. He declares it. Because sometimes we just float along. We say, well, you know, that's just the way I am. You know, I'm going to speak my mind. How many of you know somebody like that? I'm just going to speak my mind. Well, I don't really care to hear your mind sometimes, right? How about you filter your mind? I need you to be helpful here. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. All right, what's that lead you to believe? Well, then I guess we want to get rid of the cursing. How do we get rid of the cursing? Keep reading. Can both fresh water and salt water come out of the same spring? Oh, man. Think again. The answer to that rhetorical question is actually no. You're not going to get fresh water and salt water out of the same spring. And as this verse reads, it implies that if we speak both praises and curses, you must be drawing from two different wells. You're not consistent in the source. A double-talking Christian person is as inconsistent as this spring could be if it was somehow producing fresh, life-giving water and salty, dead water. Is that even possible? That's what James is asking us. How could this be inside of us? How could it be inside of us? It alludes to what we dealt with last week, is that if, in fact, the love of God is inside you, the faith that we proclaim is going to show itself. And so all that he's teaching us right now is got to go back to your heart. What is inside your heart is what's going to come back out. It's not possible. How could this be inside me, Lord? He follows through with it in verse 12. Just keep going. My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No, neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. By the fruit, you are going to recognize a tree. And so thus, by our speech, people are going to recognize our hearts. You know, back to Jesus' teaching in Matthew 12, he has some harsh words for these Pharisees. He says, but I tell you, everyone is going to have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word that they've spoken. Oh, Lord, that I would never speak empty, useless, destructive words. Because I, yes, will be held accountable. Keep reading. It's Matthew 12, 37. For by your words, you're going to be acquitted. Or by your words, you're going to be condemned. Wow. This was new for me this week. I've been a faithful Christian. I'm a teacher of the word. But maybe that strikes you here. Are we onto something here? How do we talk? How are we speaking to each other just out in the world? God cares about what you're saying. Above and beyond even some other actions and things in our life. You will be either acquitted or condemned at the end times by what you said. What you say. And we just talk all day long. We just keep talking. And we don't even think about it. Is that resonating with you? Because if this has really touched you this morning, I want you to hit your knees this week and fix it. Don't stay the same. Grow. Change. Move. Seek his will in your mouth. Stand there in the mirror tomorrow morning and stick your tongue out. Ah, that's what a doctor does. Hey, Matt, come here. Stick your tongue out. Ah, you know what they're trying to do? They look, Morris, you know, yeah, you can tell a lot about a person if you look inside their mouth. And I'm going to tell a lot about a person by what comes out of your mouth. It's a great illustration. But if this has convicted you this morning, conviction is not a bad thing. Praise God for that conviction. Turn and go the other way. That conviction is indeed the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart on this matter right now. And if we could get just this one thing right, Lord, that's it. A rule of life. I will not say a word, Lord, unless it is true, helpful, and kind. I challenge you. Challenge you. Yeah. Let's try it. What would happen? What might happen if we all as a community just left here and said, this is what I want, Lord, for my life. Guide me, Lord. Is my speech controlled, careful, and consistent? Go back to the source. Go back to the spring. Lord, cleanse my heart so that clean water comes out. Cleanse the spring. Cleanse the spring, Lord. Good fruit comes from that tree.
Speak of your glory. my hands to you and surrender all to you. The weight of your majesty brings me down to my knees. All the glory.
United Podcast. We hope you're inspired and motivated by today's show. And if you enjoyed this episode, we would ask that you'd consider sharing it with someone that you might know who would appreciate it, subscribing to the podcast so you would never miss another episode, and even supporting us financially through a monthly sponsorship. Your support will help us to continue to share uplifting stories, Bible teaching, and encouragement for listeners to never give up on encouraging and investing in other people in positive ways. We look forward to bringing you more episodes of the Encouragers United podcast. And until next time, start where you are, take what you have, and do what you can.